I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're listening to Farming News with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello, folks, and welcome back to this week's Irish Farmers Journal Farming News Podcast. I'm Barry Murphy, news correspondent here on the team. On this week's episode, we're going to discuss what it'll cost to make silage this year and the latest on fertiliser prices. We'll also get an update from Tuesday's pig farmer protest in Dublin and the latest on where the sector stands now. We'll also take a look at our survey of Irish consumers and find out how many are willing to pay more for Irish food produce. And then, always an issue this time of year, we discuss farmer burning penalties and what some ministers have to say about it. And then finally, we'll go through Glanbia's fixed milk price and an energy rebate for dairy processors. We have a big team joining us today, folks, so we'll get going. First up, we're going to speak to our dairy editor, Aidan Brennan. Aidan, farmers will take note of our page one story this week where you report that it could cost up to €50 to make a bale of silage this year. With rising input costs across all farm sectors, it was likely on the minds of many of our readers. But did we think it would get that bad? You've gone through some of the target analysis. What are they saying?
Yeah, Barry. So, I mean, based on rising fertilizer costs, rising contractor costs, the increased cost of plastic, which is important for round bale silage because you tend to use more plastic for round bales than you do for pit silage, targets have come up with the analysis that about the cost of silage is going to be 31% higher this year compared to last year. And like look at the range between, obviously, second cut silage is more expensive than first cut, and bale silage is more expensive than first cut pit silage. So there's, you know, there's different ways of looking at it. But yeah, look, I mean, as a general rule of thumb, they're saying the cost of a round bale of silage, including a land charge, which is important to, you know, when you're comparing different costs, would be about €46 per round bale landed into the yard. So it's expensive, you know, that's up, I'll consider it up, as I say, 31% or more on where it was previously.
And Aidan, I suppose, look, it's an issue for all farmers and all farm sectors, but you yourself might have been talking to a few dairy farmers this week. How is it going to impact the dairy sector, especially for this year and next winter?
Well, so the cost is one thing, right? And I think if most dairy farmers, in fairness, will bear the cost of it and will accept that. The fear that they have is that they mightn't get access to the fertilizer in order to grow the crop of silage. That's the big risk at the moment, because fertilizer is well, look, it's available, but it's expensive, and most, you know, you have to order it and you have to pay on the spot first. So there's a lot of issues around fertilizer, but fertilizer is absolutely critical to growing the crop. And if you don't get access to it, that's the big fear, you know, that the yields will be back. And there are farmers who are spreading less fertilizer anyway, just because it's so expensive. But if you do that, then you're actually going to increase the cost of what silage you do grow, because you still have the land charge, you still have the contractor costs. You still have the plastic costs. The only thing is that your yield is going to be less. So you're dividing all those costs over a smaller amount of yield, which is, you know, it's going to make it more expensive again. So there's not many options really available to people. Only I would say it's better to have the silage in the yard or to feed in the yard. And whether that means doing a deal with tillage farmers or other livestock farmers or grass farmers, in order to either grow silage for you, grow maize and contracts or fodder beet or some other source of feed, just to make sure that you have it. Like, that's the essential thing that I see.
Thanks, Ed, and I'd agree there. Definitely a few tough choices facing farmers anyway in the coming weeks. And look, you can read more on that toggish analysis on page 30 and 31 of the paper this week. Sticking with rising input costs now, and I know, Aidan, you mentioned it on the fertiliser side of things, but look, we'll go to our news correspondent, Rachel Donovan. Rachel, you report the latest on fertiliser prices on page 6. Prices have risen and supply was tight this week. What are merchants saying?
Yeah, Barry, it seems fertiliser prices took another jump this week. Pastures Ford there has now surpassed the 1,000 euro mark in many parts of the country. The cheapest price quoted in the Midlands was 970 euros a tonne, and it was highest in the West, coming in at 1,035 euros a tonne. One merchant told me that the availability of the compound, it's very bad, and he wasn't sure when he'd be getting a load of it in. 18612 then averaged at about 945 euros a tonne, with prices as high as 985 in Cork. You could get 10-10-20 in Offaly for 950 euros a tonne, but the West was dear again for it, in around 970 to 990 a tonne. Can and urea then was scarce across the board, not to mention protected urea. Bag size then was another issue. Farmers were going to have to compromise. One merchant said that they ordered a full load of can in big bags and received small bags, but they had no other option but to take it and sell it in small bags. Pig slurry was another thing farmers are going to have to consider, given these skyrocketing prices. I spoke to a pig farmer who has piggeries in Cork and Tipperary. He said that there's good demand for slurry at the minute, but he stressed the farmers are reluctant to part with money for it. He said there should be more of a value put on it. A load of pig slurry delivered in around less than 10 kilometres from the pig farm is coming in at the region of 70 to 80 euros a load. So it's a lot easier than paying many of the prices I quoted earlier.
Thanks, Rachel. Definitely a bit of a mix going on there across the country. And look, you also go through results of our survey of Irish consumers on page 12 and 13 of the paper. A lot of findings in it. We see that more consumers are willing to pay for organics, more willing to pay for farm produce in light of rising farm level costs. And then others are planning to leave sweets and alcohol on the supermarket shelf. Interesting stuff for many retailers, I'd say. Can you tell us more?
Yeah, that's right, Barry. I was looking at what the consumers are saying, especially now that the war in Ukraine has changed things, especially with regards to food security. 83% of consumers said that the EU should provide more financial support to its member states in order to prevent any food shortages. This was the opinion, I suppose, mostly among higher social grades, and it was lowest actually amongst farmers. In total, only 7% believed that the EU shouldn't support its member states. The survey also found that over 50% of people were willing to buy organic food. However, this actually has dropped by 1% since before the war began in Ukraine. Some 18% of farmers say they do not buy organic at all. 63% of farmers then said that they would, or 63% of consumers, sorry, said that they would pay more for Irish produce given the rising costs in inputs at the minute at farm level. Other key take-home points, Barry, were that 38% said that they would leave alcohol on the shelves to cut their weekly grocery costs, and 58% said they would buy less sweets to try and save money. So there's a lot of interesting findings from the survey, and all of which are gone through in depth in the paper this week.
Brilliant. I think readers can get a bit more on that online as well. Thanks, Rachel. Look, we're going to stay with retailers now, and a group they're in conflict with are pig farmers. We'll also head to our news correspondent, Noel Barron, on this one. Noel, you were in Dublin on Tuesday for a protest by pig farmers who are demanding a 100 million package from government to save the sector. The minister came out to speak with them, and I think talks are ongoing. What happened at the protest, and where do pig farmers stand now?
Yeah, Barry. So the IFA Pig Committee organised a protest outside the Department of Agriculture's head office, which is just down the road from Leinster House, on Tuesday. The farmers had gathered to really push Minister McConnellogue to give an answer on whether or not there is real possibility of the IFA's proposed 100 million euro pig sector rescue package of being passed, and for whether or not the funds will actually be on the way to farmers. The farmers were telling the Irish Farmers Journal that they really just want a yes or no at this stage. They want to know whether or not to just cut their losses and exit the sector. The IFA had met with Minister McConnellogue on Thursday to give him an update on the pig situation. And by then, 8,000 sows had been removed from the national herd. Within the space of a couple of days, by Tuesday, that figure had gone up over 10,000 sows, and many farmers were indicating to the Irish Farmers Journal that if a yes answer hadn't been given by Minister McConnellogue to this proposed 100 million euro rescue deal, that they would seriously consider leaving the sector over the coming days and weeks. So the IFA representatives gathered outside the Department of Agriculture's head office around 11 o'clock. There was strong support there on the day from stakeholders, from the millers, from the veterinary professions, and from other sectors such as the tillage sector. The demonstrators, they didn't get their answer. They didn't get a yes or no straight up. But Minister McConnellogue, after coming out to meet the protesters along with Minister Martin Hayden, they did agree to meet with the IFA that night on Tuesday night in a meeting which went from about 9 o'clock at night to midnight. The IFA president, Tim Cullinan, has said that it was the technical aspects of the deal that were the focus of these discussions, and further discussions were had between senior Department of Agriculture officials and a delegation from the IFA yesterday.
Now that's sound. Now, look, I think a lot of our readers will be hoping those farmers get what they need. I think you were also saying at one stage the Gardaí got involved, and I think a lot of lads be wishing people well, or wishing the farmers well, when they were parking up outside Ag House in a trailer to sleep on the straw for the night. How did they get on? Are they still there? Are they gone home?
Yeah, so after the IFA delegation had come out of Ag House around midnight on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, the protesters did agree to go home on the basis that further negotiations would be had between the IFA and the Department of Agriculture. But IFA pig chair Roy Galley had told the Irish Farmers Journal that if the minister hadn't agreed to a meeting, and if there hadn't been deliberations, that he was prepared, along with a number of farmers who had travelled up from County Cork, to stay the night outside Ag House. As part of the demonstration, about 150 farmers, I counted, marched behind an IFA banner. They marched past government buildings, so past the Department of Taoiseach, and then down Grafton Street. There weren't any guards stopping traffic at the time. It seemed like a bit of an impromptu move. But the protest did continue on after this. So I'm sure that they did, the IFA did raise the public's awareness of the issue during this part of the march, where they departed from the original place of the demonstration.
There you go. Look, thanks, Nolan. And just staying with yourself very briefly, on page 11 of the paper, you look at burned land penalties that farmers have received. We saw a few mountain fires last weekend. I know there was one down here in Carlow, and Minister Pippa Hackett got herself into choppy water after calling out a farmer on Twitter on burning. What's been happening there, just very briefly?
Yep. So very briefly, Minister Hackett had made a post to social media calling out a farmer. She said she wouldn't turn a blind eye where there were bushes being burned. It did appear from the video that the bushes had been cut and left in the field for some time, and some posters to social media were quick to defend the farmer and saying that if he had sought permission, the relevant permissions, he was fully within the law to do so. The minister, again, Mr. Hackett, defended her comments by saying just because something is within the law, it's not necessarily the right thing to do. But I suppose it has raised questions around wildfires and the alleged starting of wildfires by farmers, and whether or not the regime that is in place around burned land is fair. So the Department of Agriculture have told the Irish Farmers Journal that 169 farmers received penalties for having land that was included as part of their BPS application burned. This represents approximately 1,800 hectares of land, and farmers are penalised and have cuts made to their basic payment, even if it is proved that the source of the ignition of the wildfire was non-agricultural. And I suppose last month, Minister McConnellog made comments in a reply to a parliamentary question where he stated that there were very firm links between illegal dumping in bogs and in hill areas and the ignition of wildfires, as well as other recreational, as well as lands used for recreational purposes being the source of other wildfires as well. So I suppose there's a lot of questions there at the minute, but I suppose for the farmers in, you know, the more than five counties that seen wildfires over the past week or 10 days, I'm sure that they'll have a lot of questions for the department around their BPS applications this year.
Thanks, Noel. Interesting stuff there. Look more online and in the paper on those stories. Finally then, folks, we'll speak to our correspondent, Declan O'Brien. Dec, you report on Glanbia's fixed price. What do listeners need to know?
Well, the Glanbia move is in response to serious problems that are emerging, or that have emerged, with milk suppliers who are tied into fixed price contracts. Their initiative this week is aims to kind of counter some of the problems. Now, whether it will or won't, the jury is out on, but so far a lot of the reaction has been negative. What Glanbia are offering is they're saying to farmers that where they have fixed price contracts, that the first, if they have 50% or 60% of their milk tied into these contracts, the first 35% will stay as is. The first 35% of their milk pool. If they have any contracted milk above that, so if they have, say, 50% of their milk contracted, the next 15%, so the first 35% will stay the same, the next 15% will move from in 2022 to a price of 40 cents a litre. And then the volumes that have moved to the new price must be tied in 23 and 24 to a new fixed price contract with the price set at 38 cents a litre. Now, what people are saying is, what suppliers are saying is, this isn't a very generous offer. On the other side, Glanbia is saying, look, we had to go back to the people we had contracted the supplies to and get them to give when they needn't have. And this is the best we can do. So the farm organisations have welcomed that Glanbia moved somewhat to meet farmer concerns, and are saying that they are going to meet them to discuss the actual detail of the package this week. Now, or next week, it is going to move. There is only a small number of farmers who have big volumes or big percentages, shares of their milk tied up in these contracts. But unfortunately, some of them are in severe snags because they are the more highly indebted farmers. And they were encouraged to do this in many instances by the bank saying, look, we need certainty on your repayment, that you will be able to make these repayments. And that was the best way to do that, was to tie into a fixed price. But because costs have gone through the roof, the base price now from production price for milk is 34 cents a litre. That's excluding labour. So if you're producing milk at 34 cents a litre and you're tied into a fixed contract at anything from 30 to 35, you're essentially producing it for nothing. And a lot of farmers are really peeved at the moment that here we have a boom in the dairy sector, but they're tied into these contracts and are effectively, for a large proportion of their milk, giving it away.
Thanks, Declan. I know, look, we were touching on it there earlier as well before we started recording the podcast, but do we think other dairy processors are going to follow Glanbia now on this front, or will they hold off for another while?
Well, this is a problem that goes right across the sector. So, fine, the bulk of farmers have less than 20%, 15, maybe 10, 15, 20% of their milk tied into these contracts. And the contracts are rolling, so they are going to finish possibly this year for the most of them. Now, they're okay. They're saying they're going to take the hit. But the problem is on the farmers who have a higher percentage. And all of the processors are affected in this. Now, there have been, from what the Farmers' Journal have been hearing, the processors have been slow to deal with the farmers to date. There's been talk of possibly they giving some sort of a loan, or that has been the only thing that has been kind of mooted. And even there's very little on the table from processors. So whether the Glanbia initiative will kickstart some action is yet to be seen. But for farmers, I think they'll need a bit more than what Glanbia has been offering. On the processor side, they're saying, well, we can't give because unless our customers give. And they're saying we can't renege on contracts.
Thanks, Dec. We've more on those two stories online. We also headed to the Department of Agriculture's CAP information meeting in Carlow on Monday night, where farmers had their say on the impact of convergence in the southeast after they learned 11 million is set to be redistributed from the region. They told department officials they have been sold out by Minister McConlogue. We hear from a few of them now.
It's a disaster. It's a disaster for lads. They're getting up in the morning, they're trying to do their best to produce food. Let them be beat, let them be part-time, let them be small. But they are working their farm to their best of their ability over the last 30 years. The backwardness of this, the unimagination, and the lack of vision in a Minister for Agriculture I have never seen. Where he went around and played politics, that's not your fault, but he played pure politics with this, threw it out there for everyone, and let the thing just go up in the air. And now look what we're doing. Coming up with all sorts of crazy schemes to try and get people growing crops and producing food. Jeez, lads, you couldn't make it up. So I think we now have to look at postponing the new CAP.
I think you're wrong, and there's a lack of understanding with this CAP and the direction that it's going. And you may reference yourself, Fran, that there's only 11 million a year going out of a 1.2 billion budget out of a redistribution. But the net effect of that is that people that are in this room here tonight are going to see a 20, a 30, and a 40% reduction in their income. And I think it's completely wrong, the comments that you made, that it's a small amount of money. That's a huge reduction to anyone's income. And you should apologise for that comment. It's very, very sore in a productive county.
Strong words there, folks, from Henry Burns and John Keogh. That's all we have time for this week. Remember, you can also tune into our Down to Argue Business podcast, where this week Jack Kennedy, Anne Finnegan and Fiona O'Neill discuss how the Brexit Adjustment Reserve, or BAR fund, is being spent and what happened to the Programme for Government promise to create a National Food Ombudsman. More on those stories also on this week's paper and online. Thanks for listening, and talk to you the next time.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan,
turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.